Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
What's up, guys? You're listening to the final cast on Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm Brad.
I'm Matt.
Hey, Matt. What's going on, dude?
Oh, chilling, man. How do you like the new setup? I like yours. A little darker, a little more Batman-y with your red and blue lights.
Yeah, I was going for like the 3D vibe. Does it look like I'm jumping out at you?
I mean, you always look like you're jumping at me with that great personality of yours, but
I dig your lights too. It looks good.
Yeah, dude, I went with the cool blue because blue is scientifically proven to calm people, and some of the stuff I say might make some people mad. So just calm them down a little bit.
It's all good. No, I don't know. Anything new with you?
Oh, I mean, I go to Florida on Friday. I'm driving all the way through. So that's going to suck. Yeah, it's going to be rough. 900 and some odd miles, but it'll be fun. And we can talk about Saturday. We had Douglas Ross come down.
Oh, yeah.
Went on a float. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, we had the intern for Douglas Ross come out, and he shot some video and some pictures of us on the water catching fish, having a good time. It was cool.
It was cool. I wish we could have gotten better quality fish, but I don't know, man. This year, like, all the big ones are disappearing. Can't find them.
Yeah, it's weird, but at least we got some fish and content for them to post and stuff. So.
Yeah, dude, I'm not even going to lie. I was like, real weird. I told Stacy, I was like, man, if we go out and I don't catch anything, like, I'm just going to quit. She's like, yeah. She's like, it's fishing. And she called me halfway through the day. She's like, how's it going? I hadn't caught a fish yet. Like, you had that one little, like, 12er from the from a dam, and we were going down the river, and she's like, how's it going? I was like, I've got like two bites and I haven't landed a fish. I'm just gonna paddle back and quit. She's like, you're gonna be fine. And then like 5 minutes later, we got to that rocky bank, started throwing that jig, man. And with what I mean, we got to that bank within 5 minutes. Smacked that 16 on that Jig Master's finesse jig.
Yeah, if we would have spent more time there, we probably would have caught more fish, but
yeah, until I lost like 8 jigs in the rip wrap and 2 crankbaits, and you lost a Tokyo rig and
just 2 Tokyo rigs. That was painful. It's like 20 bucks right there. Finesse or tungsten and everything.
Tungsten. But, yeah. I say hooks and tungsten. But everyone, this is gonna be a great show. We're talking about something that a lot of people in the kayak community kind of wrote off, said, oh, it's not going to come to fruition. It's not going to be successful. But we've got Roland on from Feel Free Kayaks. Roland, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing great. And we're going to be talking about the new Feel Free Airship. So, Roland, before we start, introduce yourself. Let the people at home know who you are and what you're about.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate you guys having me. My name is Roland once again. Nickname Bones since I was in elementary school. couldn't shake it off, but I guess I just decided to own it. So I'm director of marketing for Fuel Free US. We're a distributor for Fuel Free, Three Waters, Johnny Boats, and Sea Stream Kayaks, amongst various other brands, including dry gear and kayak accessories and things like that. I represent not just the US, but basically our global efforts and, you know, promoting our products. So I've been with Fuel Free on and off. Well, I say on and off. I was initially doing some consulting with them and became a full-time employee about 4 years ago. So, you know, I've been working with them since 2014, I believe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It, there you go.
You mentioned international stuff. Like, that's something I don't really think about much when it comes out to the kayak industry. So, like, how does that really work? Like, do they have kayak shops around the other countries in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's kayak shops in Europe, even Russia. We have a distributor there as well. We had a play in Australia. Oh, we still have a play in Australia. So we distribute quite a few kayaks there, and some of the Asian countries, of course, and down all the way to South America. And recently, we've been working with a guy up in Puerto Rico, so he's distributing boats there, and even down into Mexico and Canada.
Pretty awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're kind of, I guess, here in America, we have like our own little lane, you know, we're just like focused.
Yeah, I was going to say, as Americans, we tend to sometimes be ignorant that there's like a bunch of other countries around the world that, like, I'll be on Instagram or something, and I'll just go like search a hashtag like kayak fishing or something, and it'll pop up, and this dude's holding like a massive perch out of like a kayak, and I'm like, dude, where'd he catch that perch? And then it's like in German or something, and I'm like, I forgot they have kayaks there. Like, I just didn't think they have them.
I know, same here. You know, Fuel Free was initially came out of the kind of a mix between Thailand and New Zealand, and then expanded throughout the really that part of the world. And eventually it made its way to the US. So it was actually a latecomer to what was going on here in the kayak fishing industry. But Fuel Free worldwide is, you know, it's an international company.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we probably don't want to waste any more time, so we could probably just get into it and talk about the airships. Matt, you have like a screen share of that or anything pulled up?
I'll be honest, I was doing that, and then we got to talking, and my brain stopped doing what it was doing. Give me one second.
It's not on their website yet, correct?
No, not yet. Okay. Yeah, we're trying to get something up here soon, but given that what we presented was still a prototype, you know, we didn't want to put something out, people come back 2 months later and it looks slightly different and confuse everyone. So
Everyone at home, it's a prototype. Don't be upset if it changes. As you just said, I'm going to preference that with the screen I'm sharing. If you're watching on YouTube,
on the record,
deal with it.
No, so you guys are one of the first major kayak companies that are jumping into like inflatable kayaks, other than, you know, like boat and stuff. I'm talking about like the major companies here in the US that roto mold kayaks. So what made you guys decide to get into the inflatable game?
Yeah. So a lot of different reasons, right? It started with, you know, our designer, Peter Murphy. He's very innovative in what he does. You know, you tell him, hey, Peter, we need some type of stand-up paddleboard. You know, it's, we all try to, you know, when stand-up paddleboards came out, it was just like, oh, you know, just, who's going to get into that? And it just keeps growing, you know, and there is a lot of people making stand-up paddleboards, inflatable and rigid, right? Mm-hmm. But when we told him, hey, let's experiment with something. You know, we've got the designer, we've got the materials in the factory. So have at it. And, you know, Peter's not a man to just put out what already exists. He wanted to do something that was a little bit more innovative. But one of the challenges that we've been facing, and not just internationally, but even here in the US, is the shipping of products, right? As you guys may know, shipping a kayak that's 80 to 100 pounds, 12, 13, you know, feet in length and 36 inches wide has gotten extremely expensive, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of reasons. I can go on and on, but we probably want to get to some of the other details. But that was one of the other reasons. It's just much easier to ship a product like this that's inflatable. But there were some concerns we had about doing just another inflatable. One is that, well, like I said earlier, there's a lot of them that exist and some really good ones out there. NRS, Boat, several others. You know, I own one myself, right? Mm-hmm. It's in my garage. And oops, I said that publicly. But anyway, great products, great brands. We're very respectful of them and what they've done. So we thought, well, let's just do, you know, try something different. Thus, here's their ship.
It's pretty cool design. I mean,
oh yeah,
it looks, it's completely different from like any of the other ones you're seeing out there on the market right now.
Yeah. So it you know, the airship, what we're doing, it's patent pending concept. It combining elements of a, you know, stand up paddle board, obviously, rigid inflatable boat, a rib, which, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with, but, and then of course, a pedal paddle kayak, and you know how it combined, you know, several of the folks that came by our booth, they're like, there's nothing new here. What, I don't get it. It's just another inflatable, you know, watercraft. We're like, well, it's a little different once we get to explaining it in more detail. And what makes it different, I think it's pretty obvious, is the rigid center hole. It's polyethylene plastic, same as kayaks. We already have the plastic. We already have the tooling and the machinery. So why not take advantage of the benefits that a you know, the plastic offers? You know, it's several advantages from, you know, in terms of using plastic. So why plastic, right? Well, first of all, it's easy to collapse, right? And we could have just done an inflatable again, but we wanted to add a pedal drive. Well, it's much easier to add a pedal drive to something that's rigid versus something that's, you know, soft, for lack of better words. Hobie's done a great job with that. But, you know, the way our pedal system is designed, it just wouldn't work that well. So while incorporating the pedal system, we're like, well, the nice thing about this plastic center hole, a lot of advantages are that you can add accessories to it without, you know, in a sense, like when you have an inflatable kayak, you're usually attaching things by glue or to some D-rings. In this case, you can actually build tracks. You can, you know, mount, you can drill into it and not worry about, you know, messing up the inflatable part of your watercraft. Right? So, and as we kind of continue to experiment with the concept, we started realizing that we can do a lot with this thing. It's not just as you see it today, but we can actually sell or design and sell a wider platform. So if you decide, you know what, this is not as stable as I wanted it to be, you can upgrade to an XL.
Oh, nice. We'll have
Yeah. And I recently heard this. Now, you know, don't quote me on this, but we might even offer a longer version that uses the same center plastic hull, right? So that if you're going to go longer distances, or perhaps you want to do, you know, you want to go offshore and maybe hit some waves, so you want to have a little bit more rocker to, you know, slice through them, you know, things like, or rather, you know, go through them. A lot of different options, right? We're still experimenting with it. You know, I can go on and on, but that's the gist of, you know, some of the advantages of using the center rigid hull.
Yeah, that's a super interesting concept, because, and correct me if I'm misunderstanding, but you essentially can take that center section out and have, I mean, if you bought three inflatable hulls, if you decided to design three or what, two, or the long one and the short one, or the wide one and the narrow one, you could have two or three different boats. That's just as simply as switching out your center piece.
Sure. Yeah.
That's all. So
that, I mean, that's, I mean, yeah, you could have, I mean, if you had an SUV, you could have a riverboat, a lake boat, or an offshore boat and the centerpiece, and you'd have everything there with you.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah. Thanks. you know, we're looking at, you know, and there's going to be three models, right? There, at least to start with, we're going to have the standard sup. So there is going to be a sup version without the pedal drive, right?
Okay.
With an option to add a seat. Then there's going to be the rec with pedal version, similar to what you're seeing right now in that photo, without some of the added accessories. And then you'll have the Angler version. The Angler version will actually offer a little more than what you're seeing there, than what was available at ICAS at the time. Again, that seat platform is a prototype, but that whole thing just comes off, and that thing is going to be expanded to incorporate more Angler features based on the consumer feedback we got at the show.
Hmm. Oh, awesome. Yeah.
What are the differences between the three, like weight-wise and width-wise?
The width will be the same on all three, and the length will be the same. I can't give you the specs on the weights right now, but I know that the Angler is roughly 60 pounds without the seat and drive.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Mm.
No, not bad at all.
Without the seat and drive. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm tracking. Whenever you add a seat, I mean, there's trade-offs. It's I hear it all the time whenever you're talking about a pedal drive kayak and they're like, oh yeah, it only weighs 80 pounds or whatever. Yeah. That's without the seat and drive. I'm like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, the boat in the water weighs 120 pounds before you add anything else to it. Oh, that's too heavy. I was like, yeah, but I mean, there's pros and cons. There's, you have takeaways with everything.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, I mean, they're borderline boats now.
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. I would agree 100%. I mean, we were talking about that a little bit before the show. They're, big kayaks. Kayaks are just getting bigger. Yeah. So here soon.
We're going to see Rotomoda John boats eventually.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, we kind of have something like
that. I was about to say, what are we talking about? A Johnny boat?
Because Big John's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, Big John's.
Mm-hmm. I forgot Phil Free made those.
Yeah.
Same
designer. That's Peter.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Well, going back to the airships, I think this is something Matt has a question for too. The bottom part of the inflatable, is that like a plastic shell?
So no, the inflatable is just a standard drop stitch inflatable tube, right? That you mm-hmm. find like on all the subs that are out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
The center plastic hull, you know, I guess we got to come up with some terms for this, but is essentially what's at the bottom. So mm-hmm. when you come up on some rocks, it's the plastic hitting rocks versus the inflatable tube. So another advantage of the plastic is, well, as you guys know, with plastic, it's a little more durable. It is polyethylene plastic and can be, you know, depending on how bad your hole is or your scratch, you can repair that.
I've had to do that on mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the reality of owning a kayak, right? But, so there's an advantage there over like a standard inflatable sup is that since it's rigid, you know, it kind of tracks through the water a little bit better. Now, can I prove that scientifically? No, that's what the designer's telling me, but we're going to go with what he said, right? As the marketing guy. Now, I will say we've been testing this guy in North Carolina over the last 3 weeks, and the reports I'm getting, because I'm here in Texas, is that it's really nimble, it's really quick, it's really fun to use. But what makes it perform well in the water is what I'm being told is that it kind of glides over the water versus a kayak where it's actually sitting a little bit farther deeper into the water.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations, and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors,
check out MidwayUSA.com.
Yep. And I can attest to that, having the NRS, that thing, like one paddle stroke and you can completely turn 360 degrees on it.
So yeah.
I can completely see that this thing maneuvers just as well as that. And John Rapp actually shared a video with us earlier today that showed this thing in action. And that thing was turning on a dime. I'm like, that's impressive.
That's what I was getting ready to say. I mean, it was going straighter and straight. And then you could tell it's not when he started the turn. It's like with most kayaks, you know, it takes that second to start turning. It was just boop and just turned. Yeah. Like, so yeah, there. He's not fibbing. I've seen it happen.
Yeah. I mean, the report coming back is that it's fun, you know, and that's what, you know, that's first and foremost, most important, right? I mean, aside from safety and all that, but when it comes to the actual response or the reaction you get from it, fun is first, right? Yeah. At least in my opinion. And, you know, we just, you know, there are some, like I said, you know, you got to be careful though, because you are, if it's a windy day, now you become a little bit of a sail. So yeah, there's some disadvantages, but again, it's not for every use. You know, it's great for specific applications and in specific days. You know, I think it's a great option for those really at the end of the day. It's like it's mentioned just a second ago, it's not really for everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want portability, you know, you got trouble storing a kayak in an apartment and you don't own a truck. I mean, that's one of the things we haven't really talked about yet is how it breaks down. So It's actually three pieces. It's the bow plastic center hull, the stern plastic center hull, which come together, you know, interlocking. And then you have the tube that slides around it. So that gives you a pack size. Now we haven't, again, don't quote me on this one, but the pack size, I believe, is around 50 inches by about 30 by about 20. And you can wheel it around, and we'll even offer a durable as an added accessory. You can buy, instead of using like a canvas bag with the wheels, you can get like a rigid box to put it in as well.
Does that also include like a patch kit and the pump and everything too?
Yeah, it'll include the pump and the patch kit. You know, I will say that, you know, personally speaking, again, like my wife owns a inflatable stand-up paddleboard. It doesn't matter who you are, how strong you are, you want to get an electric pump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. It's not easy.
No, by the time you get all your stuff out of your vehicle, you know, if you're fishing your rod and all that kind of stuff and your life vest, I mean, you know, it'll be almost done inflating. And the nice thing about this is you're not inflating an entire stand-up paddleboard. You're just inflating a tube.
I gotcha. Okay.
So with that three-piece design, just because I'm sure someone will be thinking about it and we'll either get a message about it or they'll just be mad that we didn't go over it. So disassemble, it's the stern and the bow pieces, they come apart, and then you have your tube. Is assembly to where you put the stern and the bow pieces, you interlock them in the tube around it, or can you inflate the tube and then put in your center pieces?
No, you inflate it after you they have, it's hard for me to explain, you know, without showing you, but it's, imagine like an area like this, and then the tube has like these extensions from the tube that sits over here that come in here like this. And it just kind of goes in like that, right? So you slide it around and then you inflate it, which gives it that ability to lock itself into place.
Okay. So it's kind of like a sea channel all the way around to where it goes in and locks itself in with pressure.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I thought. And I was like, that's great. Because like you said, you put an electric pump on it. The time you're done getting your PFD out, your rods, tackle, everything, it'll be ready to go. There's no extra pieces after, you know, extra setup, all the tubes inflated. Now I got to put the centerpiece. It's all done.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, something like this, you can also keep inflated and just throw it in the bed of your truck, which is what I did. I would just cam strap it in fully inflated and go.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, I think there'll be many of those who have the advantage of having a truck or, you know, a big van or something to keep it inflated. Yeah, you can certainly do that. Absolutely.
Very cool. But the ability, like you said, with the extra accessory of the hard case, now it's like for somebody like me, like I'm going to Florida on Friday. I tried and tried and tried to persuade my wife to let me bring my boat. She won't because I need room in the truck for Disney crap. But with something like this, I mean, it's as simple as, I can put it in there. It's just another pack.
Right.
And it doesn't take up any room. Or if you're flying now, I mean, you can obviously check bags, not cheap. But if you want to bring your boat with you wherever you're going, you can. Their ability is there because you can do a check bag and pick it up when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a cool thing about inflatables, man. I mean, we have a area up here in Ohio where you got to hike miles to get into some of these ponds and stuff. And like, if you want to get to the real good spots, you have to go 5 miles plus from what I hear. So something like this is like a no brainer for fishing something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you got some weight there, but you can certainly pack it up. And I mean, the bag that it's going to come with will have the two, backpack style. Straps.
Yeah. So. I'm sure Matt has carried big packs like that while deployed over in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've done 100-plus pound ruck marches and, the heaviest pack was like 170, 175. And it was in school of infantry training. It wasn't even like, I never took that much to the field with me or deployed. Like
crazy, man.
That's just dumb. Like I didn't need the stuff. If I didn't have ounces equal pounds and pounds equal pain. Yeah. But so anything below like 130, I automatically think I was like, I can do that. I'm broken now and I can still do that. I mean, it's just, you put something on your back, unless you're going like if I'm going 20 miles or something. Yeah. I'm not going to want to do that, but 5 or 6 miles. I mean, most people underestimate themselves and thinking, oh, that's 80 pounds on my back or something. Yeah. Like 80 pounds on your back is nothing. You can be out of shape. 80 pounds is going to, I mean, over time, but for a short jaunt or, a couple miles, you'll be surprised how much you can go on a little fun walk with.
Yeah, especially if you properly carry it,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Pack it.
So let's talk about the pedals. Is it like your typical pedals that show up on your other kind of kayaks that you guys make?
So this is the ProFish Drive, which is the one on our Three Waters Kayak and SeaStream series. So it's a little bit more affordable version. We have the Overdrive. The Overdrive just did not make sense for this product because we're trying to keep the price point lower. Mm-hmm. The Overdrive is a little more enhanced because it has the ability to integrate a motor into it, right, without changing the gears and or doing really you're just basically turning it into a motor drive in a matter of seconds. So it's a little more complex, a little heavier. We just didn't feel like it was the right product for this. This is a little simpler in design, chain driven, a lot quieter, smooth, and just easy to use. So kind of a no frills pedal system.
That's cool. I've never used one. Matt, did your kayak?
I've used it? No. So I had the Big Fish 120, which was a great boat.
Yeah.
Was a big. I thought
you had pedals for some reason.
No, I've been in the Big Fish 108 though, which I want to say had this style of drive in it. I know it didn't have the Overdrive, and it was comfortable to pedal. It was quick. If I really goosed on it, I could get going. But what's most important, especially in a kayak sense, it was quiet. I was able to slow chop my way and creep into spots without, in my opinion, granted my head wasn't under the water and run a fish, but it was quiet enough to where I wasn't concerned about making a ton of noise and blowing a spot out.
Right. Yeah.
I gotcha. This deck, design, I kind of like it because on my inflatable I used to have that's where I had to patch it. So I would get rocks stuck in the bottom of my shoe. I do a lot of river fishing and those little like sharp, pebbles, I guess you call them. They get stuck in the bottom of my shoe. I would stand up and fish and I poked a hole in it. I don't see that happening with this thing just because that center piece is just rigid and it's like hard, durable plastic, right?
Right. The entire center hole is polyethylene plastic, just same as your kayak.
Yeah. See, I really like that. I think that's genius. And that just kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say. it kind of puts my mind to ease, you know, when it comes to inflatables. So I really like that design.
Yeah, and we're able to save, you know, and a lot of people, nice thing about having an inflatable aspect to this is, again, like I mentioned earlier, the ability to save some weight. You know, if this was all plastic, it'd just be another plastic stand-up paddle board. So, again, just trying to find ways to minimize the footprint that this has when you store it, and of course, saving some weight. And that was one of our goals. So, you know, again, you know, you might be a person who's got a big old garage with plenty of space in a truck. Well, maybe this may not be the product for you, but, you know, for those wanting that convenience, well, there you have it.
Yeah, I'm on the same team with Brad here. It's nice to have kind of what your workspace would be, to where it's that hard, durable plastic. Because obviously that's where your feet's going to be. That's where you're going to be standing. That's like you, Brad, you said, you know, you
get measuring fish in
your show. That's where you're going to be measuring fish. That's where, if you're like me, you're going to be cutting lures off and throwing them on the deck nonstop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice that your workspace, same with the stern. If you're putting, you know, a Yak Gadget low pro box or something hard,
right,
it has something to sit on. So it's going to be, you know, it overall, and it gives you the extra structural support for that pedal drive, which I'm guessing, you know, because you mentioned earlier, there's another inflatable out there with a pedal drive system, but a train driven pedal drive, something like this, I mean, the reason why they can get up and going quick without putting a ridiculous amount of effort in it is because you can get some torque on it, and having that plastic centerpiece allows you to still throw that torque in it, and then on
without being flexible,
exactly, right. Like it's rigid enough to where it's going to take the torque, and I can feel like if I can push, you know, 4.5-5 miles an hour on a rotomotive boat with this gliding on top of the water, I bet you can hit some decent speeds with this boat.
Yeah, that's what we're you know, we haven't officially measured any speed to date, but according to the designer, he said he was able to get it up to 4.5 pretty easy.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and you know, he's slightly bigger dude, you know, a little more weight on the boat. We do I forgot to mention earlier that the capacity as of now is 375 pounds. So, you know, obviously you got to take into consideration the seat, the gear, and all that kind of stuff, but you know, it floats well, let's just put it that way.
Yeah, going back to the deck thing, Matt, or I mentioned measuring fish and stuff too, and that's another common problem people have with inflatables is that fish flop off the board and they spine the kayak, the inflatable kayak pops a hole. So that kind of solves that issue too. So I was just going to throw that in there as well.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I'll put that in my marketing bullet points.
There you go. I only say that because I had a buddy, he has one of the Hobies, and he put a hole in it just for
really
his fish spines. Yeah.
Yeah. That's hot, man. You got to be careful with those spines. Jeez.
Yeah.
As someone who still has a tip of one in his thumb.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, still?
They suck. Yeah, dude, it hasn't come out. I've taken a knife to it. I've taken scissors, like surgical scissors. Like it's, and I can see it's a little black dot sitting in there. I just got a piece of smallmouth with me forever because it will not come out. I'm really surprised it hasn't like got infected or nothing, but it's like healed over. It's just a black dot beneath my skin.
Yeah.
So
I remember that was like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, dude, is when that's I caught crazy. That 18 and a half and it spined the crap out of me jumping around. And yeah, like it's stupid. But
you don't find yourself sleeping more or anything strange, right?
I tell you what, I'll be honest, man. I found, so I don't know if it was from the river or what, but I got some like weird like bumps on my arm. Maybe it's from that. That's that. I never thought about that, but that's when it happened. So maybe it's, I don't know. Like I thought it was poison ivy, but.
Oh, that river water's maybe nasty, man.
Yeah. I know. I probably got monkey pox or something.
Especially this time of the year, man. You got to be careful out there.
Hey, yeah. I haven't got a tick yet. I found them on me, but nothing's bit me yet. And we've got out of the boats and walked through some high stuff.
Yeah.
Getting riffles. So I'm.
Yeah.
It's blessed. Not. Yeah.
Been there, done that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a deer hunter, dove hunter, and duck hunter. Yeah. I live with ticks.
Yeah.
It sucks. I hate it. Okay. Enough about Matt's tick obsession.
I got stories too, but we'll leave them for another day.
Well, yeah, we'll come back to them. It's fine. So with the inner tube, because we've talked about the plastic centerpiece and why that's pivotal and why, I mean, all the things just me and Brad said that would make it awesome. How is the inner tube piece itself designed? Now, I know it's still a prototype and whatnot, but if you can give us like a kind of a broad design of what it is, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, it's drop stitch, similar to all the other inflatables out there. Mm-hmm. I guess it's, you know, I can't give you the technical aspects of how it's designed, but, you know, to give you a visual aspect, it's like this. It's not a donut, right? It's more like a wishbone, right?
Yeah.
And then it has these, extra pieces that slide into the channel. So, but it does fold up, you know, into a smaller, compact package, I guess. But, you know, as far as advantages go, again, it just reduces the weight of the overall product. In the initial concept, we were talking about how we can expand the size. You know, I mentioned that earlier when we first started. So that was a big factor in why we proceeded with this, because we actually had a plastic version of this first. Didn't look exactly like this, but it was pretty similar. And we're just kind of like, well, it's just a two-piece plastic sup. You know, what can we do to make this better? And that's when Peter came up with the concept. And I say Peter, he might have had other people on the team involved as well, but I mentioned him because he's the lead designer. But when we got to talking about being able to make it even like six inches wider, even 8 inches wider, for those who want, you know, go from a 375 pound capacity to 450, right? So instead of going out and buying outriggers, you can upgrade or buy the large version of this watercraft. And I keep saying watercraft because I'm having a hard time pinpointing what it is, to be honest.
Yeah.
As a marketer, I'm like, man, it's like I'm calling it a sup kayak hybrid, right?
Which, yeah,
I think makes sense, but, you know, it's just another one of those things.
Yeah, it's like stand-up paddle board. It kind of has like the front nose of a traditional kayak, and it's, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting to think about. I don't know.
Yeah, suppy yak or something. I don't know.
I like it.
It's like it's a hybrid is what it is, and it's a hybrid that the plus with it being a hybrid is if you want to have a sup board, you have a sup board. And if you want to have a sit down fishing machine, you got a sit down fishing machine with pedals. I mean, it's going to be able to solve whatever activity that you personally might want to do or you personally enjoy. Cause there's people out there that, I mean, I work in the retail industry and the outdoor retail industry. And, you know, there are people who's like, oh, I hate kayaks, but I want to buy this sup board.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's like from my aspect, I was like, yeah, that sounds terrible to stand for 6 hours a day enjoying a paddle. Like, yeah, for me that doesn't work, but with this boat they can. I mean, me and someone who's 100% different than me could have the same boat that does different things and it looks completely different. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell. You could see someone using a sup board and then me just waving as I pedal by and be like, oh, there's a kayaker and there's a person on a stand-up paddle board, but they wouldn't know that they're both the airship,
right?
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Matt, pull up the picture of the seat, like a closer picture if they have one. I want to start talking about that a little bit. So this seat, is it like the traditional feel-free seat that they're known for?
Yeah, so that's our Easy Rider seat. Same materials. It's been beefed up a little bit. This is incorporating a base platform. So the recreational version of this won't have but the plastic platform at the base and the bottom, right? It'll just be mounted directly to the boat itself. But this seat's showing some accessories, right? You got the bag in the back of the seat because, you know, obviously with the sup, you have less storage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, we're going to have some options for you there. The base, I guess I got to come up with a name for that too. Jeez. Well, so that was an initial prototype. And after ICAST, we decided that that needed to change up quite a bit, you know, the position of the rails and the size of it, and kind of pushing things a little bit farther back so we can incorporate some rod hold, some flush mounted rod holders. There was talk about doing a flat area, you know, because like you mentioned earlier, you're fishing and you're changing out worms, and the last thing you're worried about is where am I going to put this thing? So you want to just put it down somewhere. So having a little, you know, kind of a, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but a little area to put your used lures in. So, and then having storage on the other side, one side versus on both sides, because right now, as you can see, it has a two storage areas, both on the left and right. The idea is to utilize, kind of have more of an open area on one side, and the other side you can have dry storage.
Gotcha. I thought, yeah, see, I messed with Matt when we first saw it. I said, that looks like a live well.
Hey,
no, that's what I was, getting ready to say. Like, yeah. The first thing that I thought, like you said, it was a cooler for your smallmouth, and it took me off. And, but I thought, the first thing I thought, I was like, I tell you what, I mean, for your offshore guys or people who fish with like live minnows or whatever, you could turn that into a live well pretty easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there, I mean, it wouldn't take too much modification or something that the marketing director of Feel Free can look into.
Yeah.
And make a kit to where, hey, turn your, on your airship, you can turn one of your dry storage into a live well.
Yeah. That's
it. I mean, I'm just something to think
heads
about.
Up. Yeah. I'm going to write that. Let me write that one down.
But I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind. Cause I was like, at first I was like, oh, it's probably dry storage. And then I was like, what if it's a live well for bait fish?
I mean, sure. Yeah.
drop like, some shiners in.
I'm just telling you, like that would be, that would pull a ton of people over who live fish, and they'd say, instead of having like a Frambell aerator on a 5-gallon bucket they got from Lowe's behind the seat, it's right there in their workspace. It's
crappie just fishermen.
I mean, it's crappie fishermen, you know, people who fish salt with live bait, which is 99% of salt fishermen.
Right.
And then you got the guys out there who are too stubborn to try lures, so they use minnows for bass.
Yeah.
Which, hey, nothing wrong with it. It's fine. They're bait fish. I don't really care about them that much. But, you know, it's just a thought.
Yeah. So. No, that's great. You know, and it's actually a lot bigger than it looks. I'm just kind of throwing this out there, but I believe it could probably hold 3 gallons, if not maybe
4.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, if you look at that cooler in the back, that's a 25-liter cooler. So you can see how big it actually is.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Awesome.
Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
Now, is that, I know you're changing it up a little bit and whatnot, but is that base dry storage, is it like one big area or is it two sectioned off areas?
No, it'd be two sectioned off areas.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That was going to throw the live well aspect out, because then all the fish would just go under your seat and you wouldn't be able to get them.
Yeah, that would suck.
Good point.
The that hatch part, how big is that hatch? Is it like 6-inch opening?
Yeah, it's a 6-inch hatch. Gotcha. And again,
that's perfect.
The feedback we're getting, though, is instead of having two hatches, leave one side a little bit more open for random things. Even a small tackle box and trash, you know, one of the things you don't see is a bottle holder, right? So that's one of the things we talked about, you know, putting a bottle holder on one side as well. So that base platform, the overall watercraft itself probably won't change much in design, but I can guarantee you that base is going to look quite a bit different once we get to production.
Interested to see it.
Yeah, definitely.
So how is that, how does it attach to the kayak itself?
So we have a new cam lock system. There's in the back, there's a, it's hard to explain. There's a channel for the seat, and in the front, mm-hmm. there's a cam lock system. So I wish there was a, maybe see it there. You kind of zoom in.
Yeah, it won't let me. I can do that.
It's kind of hard to see, but yeah, that's
okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. There's other brands out there where the seat just straps down. It's kind of annoying too, because you know, you got to mess with it a little bit and it comes loose after a trip or two.
Yeah. We're that little system, we're calling it a cam lock system, and I'm not sure that's the right description for it, but basically we're going to put that on. Eventually it'll make its way onto some of the other kayaks as well.
Nice.
It's a new, that's
new concept. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a plus. Whenever we have any company on the show and they're like, yeah, we're bringing something new to innovate the industry. I mean, we had Glenn Young from Z-Man, John Thomas from Yak Gadget. He loves to say this every single show, but every time you make something new, it can jump to other products and it can force other people to start making it because it's a good design.
Yeah.
You know, now that we've zoomed on this picture, I can see it's two different channels, and I like, because it looks like you're going to have ample underneath seat space as well.
Yeah.
Which is nice. So, and again, I'm a big fan of workspace. My workspace is in my immediate area. I hate having to reach for stuff. So having everything in that workspace is nice because it makes overall fishing. If you make the fishing experience easier, people will enjoy it more.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a lot of the feedback we were open to at ICAST. You know, we had a lot of pro team kind of guy, not just our team, but other, you know, anglers, obviously. Have you guys been to ICAST before?
No,
I have not.
Yeah, you should go. Yeah,
next year I'm going.
You can be media guys, make it in really easy. But we were very open to feedback because, you know, many a time we launch a product, get it out there, and we're like, oh, you know, this guy's saying this, that makes sense. Well, we've been told to do this 30 times, maybe we should change it. So mm-hmm. we wanted to take a different approach this time, right? And little things like, well, you know, we were talking about, well, somebody was talking about the seat and how, well, there's all this space, might have put a drawer there or something, you know, a drawer with holes so that if water gets in, it drains. There's so many different options with this craft, and what makes it easy to do that is the fact, and I keep mentioning this, is the plastic center hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're talking about a cup holder and stuff, I was thinking, and then you immediately said, yeah, the center hole and the tube probably is not going to change that much. I was like, oh man, a perfect place for that cup holder if you could inlay it into that plastic to where it's out of the way of your pedal stroke, but still right in your workspace, right there in the middle.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah, well, again, it's the mold has not been created. Let's just put it that way.
All right. That's so I know if I see a live well accessory, and if I see a water holder in the middle, I just want to. I mean, hey, if those things show up, I'm gonna be emailing you. Say, hey, man,
I bet you will.
I need at least a demo boat so I can try it out, and I'll send it back.
That's funny.
And you know what? Every guy at ICAST is going to be emailing me like, remember that idea I told you?
But no, that's great that you're taking that direction with it to where you're listening to the end user of the product. So much with mm-hmm. no matter what industry you're in, it could be cinema, it could be, you know, whatever, vehicles. Right. If you listen to the end users and enough of them say the same thing and you can implement it, why not try to implement it? Because you're making the majority. Now there's some people who are out there like, I want to be able to put a grill on it. All right, man, that's dumb. So
you melt a hole in the inflatable.
But there'd be somebody who would like think that, and then you can't give everyone what they want, but going from the end user aspect and listening to the consumer, in my opinion, is never a bad thing for a company to do, because A, it shows that you're listening to your consumer, which from a business standpoint is good because it's going to draw more people to you because, hey, oh, we make a suggestion. They listen to it. You know, there's companies out there who have an open email policy where you can email them. Z-Man's like that. For example, you can email Z-Man directly, ask a question about a product, or ask, hey, can you guys do something like this? Or can you change a color? A couple of their colors they're not from pros or anything. They're from like customers emailing, hey, can you make this color? And then they make that color.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's the same concept, which is great. I love when, you know, companies, because like you said, you're an international company. It's an international business. You guys are in a bunch of different countries. I'm sure you are busy nonstop. But if you take the time to listen to the consumers, it's a win-win for everybody. So
Yeah. And it's difficult, too, because, you know, I mean, like our designer, you know, he's a New Zealander and he's, you know, lives in Bangkok right now. And what people are looking for in Australia, New Zealand, Bangkok, France, you know, because, again, we're all over the place, you know, is different than what anglers, you know, expect here in the U.S. So we have to listen to everybody. And it does make it difficult sometimes. But I think bringing this to ICAST was probably one of the best things we could have done. And the designer, Peter, was actually there and was able to, you know, speak to the some of the end users and dealers, too. I mean, that's another thing where I keep forgetting to mention our dealers. They know more than we do at the end of the day what the customers want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this thing didn't win Watercraft at ICAST.
Well, we didn't answer.
You didn't.
We stopped answering. It's just, I don't know.
I was going to say that this was the thing that stood out to me out of all the kayaks. It would have easily won if you guys entered it, I think.
Yeah. We've entered stuff before and it just, you know, we just kind of got to the point where it's just not worth it. Let's just have it in our booth and let people come talk to us.
Yeah. I hear it. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I can see that. I agree with Brad. It would have won.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think, I mean, that's ever all the Watercraft that was there. This stood out to me for the right reasons. There were some things I saw there that stood out to me because it made my head hurt.
Right.
But
kind of like the Whopper Plopper buzzbait.
Oh yeah. Kind of like that one. Yes.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot. And I'll relay it over to Peter, our designer, because he was a little cautious, you know, presenting this to us when.
Completely understand that. Just because, like Matt said earlier, it's inflatables just get so much stupid hate from people for no reason.
Yeah. Well, and again, if this is not for you, that's okay, man. We got other kayaks. We got big kayaks, small kayaks, you name it, and standard kayaks and paddle and pedal kayaks and motor kayaks. And then there's, what, at least a dozen solid brands out there. So a lot of options for everybody, you know, pick and choose what you think works for you. And we think there's a place for this.
Yep. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on the backside of the seat, Matt, we didn't talk about? Because I can't see the picture.
Well, let me zoom out so you can see. This info doesn't have a whole, like, we could watch the video, but I don't want to do that. I'll be honest. If you want to watch the video, it's on YouTube, people. You can go watch it. But no, I mean, other than, I'm guessing, is this, again, prototype, got to get changed. But is this a rear track that's back there, or is it just like a support?
Yeah, that's a rear track. And again, that was one of the discussion points where we're like, well, it might not really work there. So we're trying to figure some things out, right? I can't give you any definite answers right now. Mm-hmm. But the back area was an open area with some, you know, eyelet or what am I trying to say, where you can clip some accessories to. As you can see, the cooler air is clipped to the tank well area. And then there's, of course, the rudder. We were talking about, and this is, again, talking about developing an accessory, basically a transom accessory, so you could put a trolling motor there.
I was going to ask, what plans have you made for motors?
So that's a definite one. And then Peter said something about kind of more jet-powered type motor.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I don't want to elaborate on that because I was like, shut up, man. Like, stop. Like,
well, there's a company out there that I saw recently that has something that fits on the back of kayaks and it's jet powered. I just can't remember who makes it.
Yeah.
I know I saw that. It was on, I think it was a TikTok or somebody sent it in the host chat or something. But it was like the first rendition. I mean, people are being crazy with motors. I know I've seen videos of dudes use like leaf blowers and they use drills and everything else. And then this one guy had one where it has two little jet motors on the side. You put it on a kayak. I'm too wide for my camera and I'm going the wrong way, but you put it on a kayak and it has two jet motors on the side. And I mean, those things, like, that kayak gets on plane.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane.
Well, if you ever, so, you know, we own Johnny, the Johnny mm-hmm. brand as well. And it's, I sometimes invite people to join just so they can see the crazy stuff people do with their Johnny boat, because it's got a transom mount already built into the boat, and it's a boat that's designed to plane if you can get it that fast, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we say 2.5 to 3 horsepower, but you know, people go out and put 5 horsepower in this thing, and it's crazy what some of these guys do. I mean, you just hooting and hollering down some of the channels down in Florida with what do you call those motors?
Like a mud motor,
yeah, with some of those.
And
Lord. Oh, yeah,
they're standing people up, putting, just like, woo!
People are putting mud motors on Johnny boats.
Oh man, it's crazy what these guys are doing, man.
That's insane.
It's awesome.
I want to see someone put a fan motor on it, make it happen. Rolling.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody's already done it. Yeah, so the Tanquil, anyway, We are talking about some motor options, and you know, perhaps even in the future, we may even do something in the center hull as well. Or you know, we're always, you know, we love partners. We love working with people like Yeah Gadget and whatnot. So more power to them if they can come up with some cool things as well.
Yeah, Gadget's awesome. I like John.
You ain't wrong.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, there's just so much cool stuff that people are making. So.
Yep.
But I'm sorry. I wish there was more of a picture there for you to see. But it just looks like a standard rear of a kayak and or sup. It's not a deep Tanquil.
There is one last thing we can hit. Yeah, talk about the rudder a little bit. How does it connect to the inflatable on the back?
Yeah. So it's actually connected to the plastic. So in the back, remember I mentioned it's more of a horseshoe design.
Mm-hmm.
Versus mm-hmm. that of a, or I said a wishbone design, but I guess horseshoe.
Wishbone,
yeah.
Say
it, yeah. So it actually ends at the stern on the left and right, and the center rear area of the watercraft is the plastic hull as well. So the rudder mm-hmm. mounts to that, and the way Peter designed the rudder is so that you can disconnect it and remove the whole thing along with the steerable device. We're still trying to play with that a little bit. It's not 100%. You know, he was kind of thinking through it a bit. But the idea is that, yeah, when you collapse this, you can actually remove the entire rudder and steering mechanism housing from it.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
So it's all mounted above the plastic in these channels versus inside the hole.
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, that wishbone, I guess I wasn't putting 2 to 2 together. You said wishbone, and my brain just said, no, he means oval. I don't know why I would question the guy who knows more about it than I do, but I'm stupid. So
that's okay. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure it out myself. You know, I'm writing bullet points every day. Like, what is this thing?
That's awesome. So that's cool, though, that it's that wishbone, because it's that plastic that gives you a lot more play with what accessories you can put there. Like you when you just said transom, I was thinking, dude, how are they gonna put a transom on the inflatable part? Like, this, it's gonna be weird, or it's not gonna, but it's plastic, so it's gonna work fine. And the other question I had that didn't click to me till just now, if you decided you want to take that pedal drive out, you obviously don't have to have that in the boat to be on the water with it, correct?
You don't, but so that's another discussion we're having, you know.
When you go out there and the fish are where you think they are, any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know, right here at Hawk's Cave.
Oh, that's awesome!
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
You don't have to have it, absolutely. And we're talking about creating a kind of a blank to mm-hmm. put in there, so with a little mm-hmm. storage, but you will still have, I don't know if you can zoom into the picture there a little bit, but you can see how it's got that plastic housing that is still there. That does not go away.
Okay.
So yeah. The idea was to create a blank that goes in there so that with a little bit of a storage unit.
I was sitting, my mind went towards thinking somebody jumping right through it and diving down under the kayak. No, you can't, you can't do that.
No. But
yeah, again, but the option, if you don't want to use that, especially once motors come out, right, and if you, you know, somebody's found a way to put a motor, because I mean, obviously, you know, as well as I do, you'll send this to market and within 6 days, someone will say, I don't want the pedal drive anymore. And they'll have a Minn Kota something on the back, or they'll somehow figure out a way to strap an XI3 to an inflatable and they'll put it on the front of the bow or something.
They will.
And, you know, they'll take that out. So having that blank to where, you know, you could put that down in there, that becomes, you know, cause it's a pedal drive. So that becomes a good bit of storage that someone can use as dry storage right in front of them in that workspace that I like to talk about all the time with kayaks. Yeah. It's right there. So yeah, I mean, that's, I like that you guys have already thought about that. Like, oh, there's going to be people who don't want the pedal drive. Let's make that dry storage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something we were discussing as well.
Matt, you just need to design kayaks, dude. Sounds like you're
on top of it. Man. Rolling. You give me a position. I don't want to move to Bangkok, but I'll work remote.
Yeah.
That's funny.
They don't have smallmouth. So sorry. Can't go.
Yeah, a lot of snakehead though. We went fishing for snakehead there. That was pretty awesome. Took us to the jungle.
That would be fun.
Snakehead are fun. Like, I've caught a couple snakehead, but they scare the crap out of me. It's the same way as like when I take, like, catch a pike or a muskie from a kayak and I get it in the net and I'm like, oh yeah, and the excitement wears off. Like, oh, this thing could like kill me. No, if it bites the wrong part of my wrist, I'm dead. And snakehead are mean as snot. So
yeah, it's the oh shit factor. Sorry, I just cussed.
No, you're that's
fine. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, it is, because I mean, I've caught bowfin and you get them out of the water and they're like just stupid looking fish and they don't do anything. And then you catch a snakehead and it's like trying to kill you. So,
yeah,
like
we got a lot of gar here in Texas, so that's my scare fish.
Oh, yeah,
well, like alligator gar,
yeah.
Oh, see, I want to catch one really bad. I never have, and I want to catch one in my brain because I've like, what was that show? River Monsters?
Yeah,
he went and caught like a ginormous alligator gar.
Yep.
And it was like, it's, I mean, they have like scales that are harder than rock.
Yeah, that thing blows my mind.
Like, they're actually pretty amazing. I mean, they're like prehistoric looking.
Yeah, they're so cool. I want one in an aquarium. That won't ever work out. But like.
We kind of got prehistoric fish here on the Ohio River, paddlefish.
Oh, yeah.
You got paddlefish.
Yeah.
Which those are weird looking, too.
Yeah.
They're just big, weird, goofy looking fish, though.
I want to catch one. I
can't believe they still exist, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Well, when are you guys expecting to drop this thing?
So we have a bad habit of putting dates out and not meeting those dates. So we've decided not to give specific dates anymore. I actually, you know, laid it down and said, we're not going to give a date, guys. Cause they gave me a date, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. So at this point, I'm telling you 2023, more than likely the summertime.
Okay.
We're really close. Awesome. I mean, the inflatable part is pretty much done. It's just the center hole, you know, once we get that, you know, fine tune and, you know, the mold put together, and that's the, you know, honestly, I hate to put it this way, but it's kind of the easy part. That's what we do, right? But the area in which, you know, it might take a little bit longer is refining the way the rudder system works and it gets removed, you know, fixing that platform and really just, you know, making sure. Oh, and the other thing where both the designer and the owner of the company and the owners are working together to make sure this can be put together fairly quickly.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, that's very important. So they gave them a time limit and they're, I'm not going to tell you what that is, but they give a time limit and they're challenging the team to make it so that it can be put together in that amount of time, knowing that they won't, but at least we'll work to get to that point, right?
Yeah. And do you guys got a price on it yet?
Yeah. So I have some pricing. You know, I do need to say, perhaps it was saying, you know, this is, you know,
tentative.
Yes. But the angler version, which would be the one you see there without the cooler and all the extra accessories, it'd be the pedal, the center hole, the inflatable ring, the seat, and the platform. We're looking at about $2,000.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's very competitively priced with what else is on the market.
Yeah, yeah.
Same feature. So yeah.
And then the rec part, the rec version would be a little less because it won't have that base platform.
Right.
Really, that's the one piece that makes it an angler, right? And then, of course, there'll be the sup version. Now, we're talking about making a kind of a sup, the sup version having the ability to put a seat on it as well. Mm-hmm. So that when you're just paddling, paddling, because the sup version will not have a pedal system, right? Mm-hmm. That's just a standard sup. It's our sup offering. But we will make it so that you can put a seat on it or a cooler.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We're winding down, man. I think we hit everything. You answered all the questions that I had. So it's been a good episode.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We're super excited about this. And I just got a call from owner of Feel Free US. He's like, man, I love this thing, dude. I love it. And, you know, he admittedly likes to use boats, you know, standard power boats. And he's like, man, I've been using it all week. So, you know, it tells me a lot. And everybody that's used it so far has been, you know, pretty the feedback we're getting on the water has been great. And even some females that have been trying it who want to use it more for recreational purposes and fitness said they're enjoying it as well. So anyway, I can go on and on. I'm a marketing guy, but I really do appreciate you guys having me, you know, on the show and talking about the new airships.
Heck yeah. Is there anything you want or you want to shout out any of your socials or anything where people can follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just go to Facebook. You know, I'm 50 years old. I'm a Facebook guy, right? So, you know, head on Facebook, search Feel Free Kayaks. We'll pop up. We have a Feel Free Kayaks fishing team as well. We're definitely on Instagram. I'm trying to figure out TikTok, man, but I'm struggling with that myself.
Yeah, so. I can't figure it out either. Don't worry.
I don't like it.
I'll hire somebody one day to, you know, my daughter or something to do that. But Instagram and Facebook, we're pretty active. We got groups there. We actually just started an airships group. So just search Feel Free Airships and the group will pop up. And usually in our groups, we don't let people come in unless they already own a product of ours. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, people come in and just start, you know, messing, you know, the vibe up. Like, for the airships one, it's going to be more open for now because obviously nobody owns one. So we're going to just let everybody in. And because I'm glad you mentioned that because that's actually, we'll be announcing and posting more information than you might see on our main page because we don't want to divert attention to this. It's not available yet.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, man, thanks for coming on the show. It's been fun. Matt, you got anything else?
I don't, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show. A lot of people were talking about it when it was announced. I mean, I was getting messages and people asking, you know, oh, do you know anything about it? Because we got some guys down at ICAST. And I was like, yeah, man, I know exactly what you know, which is what was shown. But yeah, thanks for coming on, talking a little bit about it. Once it, you know, when it gets released, we'll have you back on so we can talk about the revisions that were made and why you made them. That's going to be a good show looking forward to.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. That'd be awesome. I enjoyed it as well, guys. And once you guys get the is there a link that I can share on our Facebook page, on our group pages? Or
yeah, we'll tag you on the show post.
Great. Yeah, I'll do that. And I'll put it on the group page and put it even on the main page for Feel Free.
Sweet.
Give you guys awesome. All right,
guys. Thanks for tuning in. It's been a fun episode. You guys have a good week. Go catch some fish this weekend.
Awesome.
Go get on them.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination. Go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.